Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. The Wellington Zoo Hospital is about to undergo changes that will alter the way animals are treated and cared for at the zoo. Dr. Katja Geschk is the Manager of Conservation and Veterinary Science at Wellington Zoo, and Glynis Bartlam sat down with her to hear about what's going on.
If I could talk to the animals, just imagine it, chatting with a chimp and chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be.
The Karen Zoo Hospital is pretty old. I think it was built in the 50s, and it was never meant to be a hospital, so it was basically a house that was then revamped to become a hospital. And it's pretty small, and it's pretty full of stuff. It pretty much doesn't have all the things that normally make a hospital. But if we have complicated surgery, or if we would need a sterile surgery room, we'd have to go to Massey University, which is in Palmerston North, so it's the only, you know, sort of big clinic here in New Zealand, which is a 2 hours drive, so that's not something you would really want to do with a critically ill animal. And it really just limits us also in the things that we can do for native wildlife around Wellington, because we don't have purpose-built enclosures. I can't really take animals from outside the zoo easily. We look at these animals and we can triage them, and we can sometimes do some certain surgery, but we can't really keep them because we don't have the space for them. And we also, of course, because we have our own animals and they're under quarantine, you know, we don't want to get diseases into the zoo. Or one of the strong parts of the nest will be that it would be able to look after more animals.
The nest is currently under construction. Once completed, it will be Wellington Zoo's animal hospital that will be a centre for wildlife care, rehabilitation and research. The hospital will be around 600 metres square and will cost approximately $6 million to build. Katja will head the new facility.
It's basically going to have a large treatment room, a sterile surgery, which, I mean, you sort of say that, and I said that quite naively in the beginning, I want a hospital-grade surgery room, but it actually means that the technology is quite high standard, so we have 16 air changes a minute. It actually means that you have overhead services, you have overhead scavenging, you have oxygen that gets pumped into the room, you know, all these things that are obviously quite expensive. We're going to have 6 enclosures for our animals at the zoo, and one of them will have a sort of built-in smaller pool, so like for our otters, or if waterfowl of ours needs looking after, then they have a place to go to. We have an ICU room, which is basically, we call it the warm room. So it's the room for the young animals, or it's for animals that have gone through extended surgery and just need, you know, intensive care when they're looked after. We're going to have a big lab with, you know, the microscopes and a minus 80 freezer and all those sorts of things. And then we're going to basically have a little unit for the native animals. So we're going to have the big enclosure and then 2 other multi-purpose enclosures. And then again, sort of a warm room for the native animal. And then each area has a little food prep, of course, as well. We'll have offices and the pharmacy and all those sorts of things. So we'll actually have a saltwater pool, 5 by 5 meter, reasonably big pool that has continuous saltwater treatments. It's going to give us the opportunity to look after the bigger seabirds. It's quite hard to keep them in hospitals, because if you think of it, like an albatross, for instance, is really built to either fly or to swim. And if you have them in enclosures on concrete, they often get problems with their feet, or they're not really very well adapted to be kept inside. So you're always in that difficult situation that you have an injured bird that really needs intensive treatment, but on the other side, it needs to sit in water. It needs to actually be in a natural environment. So we'll try and give that a go. The other thing, of course, is just, because it is bigger and it is a purpose-built facility, it will really enable us to help in the, I guess, lower North Island. I mean, we won't be able, obviously, to look after every animal that people find, but we will be definitely trying to help DOC and help other people look after native animals, so look after animals that have a bit of a hard time at the moment. And then the other thing that the nest will do is it will also, I think, help us to just do a bit more research, and it will also help us to look after our residents. So Massey University actually sends us 4 of their wildlife veterinarians as their residents. And we also have partnerships with Victoria University, where we're looking at an alternative to 1080 for possum control. So they're doing quite a lot of vaccination trial with possums, and so they'll be using the Nest as well. And again, it gives these researchers an opportunity to share what they're actually doing and, you know, to talk to the public and the people that come through here.
Wellington Zoo's vision is to create a place of both learning and fun. The hospital is a part of this vision, with features built specifically for the public to view and learn inside the hospital.
So it is the new animal hospital for the Wellington Zoo, but I hope it becomes much more than that. It's something so we are able to open up for our visitors. What I've always had in my career as a zoo vet is that people are really intrigued and interested and fascinated by what you're doing. So the Nest will enable us to really share more with our visitors what we're doing. So the treatment room and the surgery and the lab and part of the animal enclosures will actually be on display. So be it the nurses changing a bandage on a kiwi or looking at a pregnant red panda or something like that, people can actually see what we're doing, and there'll be people outside, you know, telling them what's going on, and they'll have things like x-rays and, you know, a couple of props that they can show people, or maybe a tooth, or, you know, these sorts of things. And I think that is a very, very exciting aspect of it, because a lot of people don't realize that we're doing a root canal for our animals, or that, you know, that there's actually quite a lot of skill and technology that goes into looking after these animals.
Attitudes to animals in captivity have changed considerably over the years. Gone are the days of chimpanzee tea parties, but human and animal interaction is still a necessary part of zoo life, especially when animals need to visit the vet.
It's really nice here in the zoo. We have a lot of medical training, so all the keepers try and get their animals to voluntarily go on scales or to voluntarily accept a hand injection. So just like when you go to a doctor to get a vaccine or something, a lot of our animals are trained to take an injection. And it's really nice for me because often as the vet, of course, you're not the most popular person in the zoo, and a lot of animals, you know, if you've darted them or something, they don't particularly like you. But here, we're really working strongly together, and the animals, I think, actually, some of them know, you know, they sort of know, oh, yeah, I've hurt myself, and the chimps come and they actually show me, you know, their wounds. And my first Kia patient was a very old Kia who had a respiratory problem, and he was just lovely. I mean, they're so smart. He knew that we would come every day and treat him. He'd hop into the net voluntarily. He'd, you know, take his medication. He'd play with us. He was just amazing. They're very, very smart birds, and I think you guys are very, very lucky that you have such wonderful native animals around here.
I asked Katya about some of the recent patients in the current hospital to give us an idea of what we can expect to see in the Nest.
We've got a couple of baboons that are actually going to Auckland Zoo, so a couple of females that have gone into our quarantine to then go to Auckland Zoo, and one of them was actually pregnant, so she was in the last trimester. So when we examined her for the quarantine health check, I palpated the embryo, which was quite exciting, so it could feel the skull, and I could feel the arms and feet and stuff. And so we decided not to move her. We left her here in our group. We always have chimpanzee patients because they're a wild bunch. So we quite often have bite wounds, or we have, you know, teeth problems. So just like, you know, humans, obviously, if you don't brush your teeth and you don't floss, you're going to have problems with your teeth in a while. And obviously, because our animals are looked after by us, we do see things that in the wild wouldn't be seen. And so we do get the dentist in once in a while, and they do get their treatments there. We've got a little red panda, Sir Ed, who was born here last year when Edmund Hillary died. And he's probably eaten a little bit too many karaka berries, so he sort of suddenly looked like he was drunk. And our keepers called us up, and we did a CT scan of him and just checked up that everything was all right. But actually within 2 days in the hospital without access to the berries, he went perfectly fine. Yeah, so you have very different sort of aspects and different things that happen.
Raising money for such an ambitious project was never going to be easy, but some famous faces, such as Tana Umanga, have come out to encourage donations.
Me and my family love coming home to Wellington, and when we do, we love coming to the zoo. A new state-of-the-art animal hospital is being built here to be called The Nest, but we can't do it without your help. While the zoo is a major attraction of Wellington, and the Wellington City Council is generous in its support, we still need more funds. It's our zoo. ours to look after and improve for our kids and future generations. Even if you can only spare a few dollars, go to our website to donate. Or next time you're visiting the zoo, look out for our donation box.
Because it's such a specific building, pretty much everything is, or a lot of is a one-off for New Zealand, really. So it's a building that's going to be unique, and that's going to have a lot of features that have never been built in New Zealand. And so, unfortunately, it is a reasonably expensive facility. So it's going to be around $6 million, which is a lot of money. But the big problem, you know, once you did this step and you said, yep, we're going to build this facility, is actually that, of course, you realize, oh, we're going to need more staff, we're going to need more medication, we're going to need more bedding, more food. So, yeah, we'd be really happy if people would think that it's a very worthwhile project to give money to. It's a big facility, and it's going to need funding and support, and it's also volunteers. So if people think they would want to help, then at the end of this year or in the next year, then definitely we'll be looking for people who are passionate, who have a bit of time and who can come and help us.
And for more information about volunteering and donating, head to wellingtonzoo.com.
I think my biggest dream or the vision I have is that the kids that grow up here in Wellington appreciate nature. I think that's the most important, is the respect for the animals and also the plants. I mean, you know, for the animals and their habitat, and, you know, how extremely lucky we are here in New Zealand to have such fantastic animals and such special animals. Yeah, I think that's my biggest hope.
If I could walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt, squeak, squawk with the animals, and they could squeak and squawk and speak and talk to me.
That website again, www.wellingtonzoo.com. Coming up after the break, we talk to one of the finalists in the Montana Book Awards.